Good yantav, everyone. Yantav. And that's what it is, it's a yantav. I've never been thrilled about the fact that Rosh Hashanah borrowed too much atmosphere from Yom Kippur, too much solemnity. I've never been thrilled about the fact that our focus on this new year is so much on judgment instead of celebration. And so it's a good thing to say, good yantav, happy new year. May this year be filled with joy and excitement, with celebration, with blessing. The question is, on the very first night of Rosh Hashanah, what are we supposed to do with all of the days of these high holy days? How do we make them meaningful, worthwhile? How do we actually get the message of these days of awe? For 3 days, we're going to be sitting in the synagogue more than we do on any Shabbat, on any other festival. First day services go on until the afternoon, the second day as well, and then comes Kol Nidrei and Yom Kippur. A whole day, 24, 25 hours of sitting, contemplation, services, prayers. What's supposed to happen between now and when David Volansky blows that final shofar and break the fast? What's really supposed to happen? During this entire season that started with the month before Rosh Hashanah, the month of Elul, it's been traditional to recite a psalm both in the morning and the evening called L'Davar Hashem Ori. Those are the first words that are found in that psalm. It's the 27th psalm. And it's a psalm attributed to the great King David. And in that psalm, David says something rather puzzling. Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem otav hakesh. There was only one thing I am asking of God. This is my request. Shivti bevet Hashem kol yimei chayai. I want to sit in the house of God all the days of my life. What kind of request is that? For a king or a pauper? There's so much to do in life. So much to celebrate. So many good times to have. So much work to do. So many things to accomplish. What is meant by King David's request that all I want is to sit in the house of God? And what would he do there while he's sitting? I suspect that in that psalm and in that divine, in that royal request, is perhaps a key to the question of what it is we're supposed to be doing here when we sit in the synagogue for all of the high holy days. You might think that the answer is given in the famous prayer on Nesan HaTokef, the prayer that we chant during the Musaf tomorrow and each of the high holy days, in which we say, Tefillah, Teshuvah, Utzedakah. Prayer, repentance, and deeds of loving kindness. Charity, tzedakah, however. Well, the tzedakah is not something that we do in shul. This isn't the time for us to reach into our pockets and help out poorer people. This isn't the time to create acts that would change the world. So maybe it's just teshuvah and tefillah. Maybe it's just prayer and repentance. But praying is a challenge. To whom do we pray? For post-Holocaust Jews, that's a real difficult question. The God of Tevye, the God he talks to in Fiddler on the Roof, has evaporated, has moved in with the evangelical Christians, and is found in the governor's mansion in Alaska. To whom do Jews pray? And if we don't have a clear answer to that, then what does praying mean? Can we pray? Even a committed Jew prays for the sake of fulfilling the halakha, doing one's duty. But talking to someone, that's a tough one. And teshuva. Teshuva, repentance. That's also a very difficult process. How do we repent? What did we do wrong? And if teshuva means return, what do we return to? So sitting in the house of the Lord, whether it's for King David or for the Jew in the 21st century, I think is a challenge. I got a little assistance this year from a woman named Sylvia Borstein, whom I had never met until just a few weeks ago. We brought her here to Congregation Ner Tamid on the evening of Slichot to teach us how to sit. How to sit quietly. She's what they call a Jubu. That is, a very committed Jew. She lives a virtually orthodox life, but she has made some Buddhist practices a part of her life. And she's become an expert on meditation. And so she sat here on the bima with a sanctuary that was filled. There were more people there than there are tonight. And for 2.5 hours, she led us in meditation. Silence. In the beginning, the mind is very cluttered. You start thinking of all things, what time is it, how long is this going to last, who else is here, what put these people in, are they like me, what am I supposed to do, hear a little sound, you feel a little itch, easily distracted. But over the course of time, with some of her guidance, her very soft, gentle words, we began to enter a different plane, a different place. And it led me to think that perhaps what I would encourage you to do over the 3 High Holy Days is to do nothing. To do nothing. Instead, to relax, to daydream, to sit with yourself, to follow King David's advice, Shifti Bevet Hashem, just to hang out without the pressure of accomplishing anything. I hope that Rudy is not offended, but I'm not sure how much attention you should pay to the cantor. I think rather than trying to hear every word and follow every note, that maybe what you should do is let his voice simply surround you. Create a state of being. I don't think you should worry about what pages I announce. I don't think it matters. I think that the fixed prayers and the machzor and the pages that are announced will put you into a box. They'll hold your soul captive. They'll take your thoughts and lock them in a cage so that you're not free to be. Start, if not tonight, then tomorrow. Just be. Let your mind go. And after a while, it will go where it's supposed to go. After a while, you'll find that you are reviewing your life. That you're thinking about your relationships. That you're looking honestly at your character. That you're evaluating your own values. I think you'll come to know your own dreams and your hopes and your fears. You'll meet your passions, your treasures, your soul. There was a poor tailor who lived in a shtetl, not far from the great city of Riga. He had a tough time making a living. Who paid a tailor? The people who brought their clothes to him were people whose clothes were frayed and torn. They couldn't afford new ones, and so life was difficult. One night, he had a dream. He dreamt that under a certain bridge that crossed the river in the big city, right at the foot of the bridge where the pile, the pillar goes into the ground, there was buried a little box, and in it was a diamond. He awoke in the morning, and the dream seemed so real to him that he said to his wife, "I'm going to be gone all day, and maybe overnight." And with that, he took a little spade and a sack to carry away earth, and he went into Riga, and he went over to the bridge. He kept walking bridges over the river until he recognized the bridge he saw in his dream, and he began digging by the pile right at the foundation of the bridge. And all of a sudden, one of the Tsar's soldiers came over to him and said, "Jid, Jew, what are you doing?" Terrified, realizing there must be a law against him doing anything like this, he said, I had a dream last night, and in that dream I dreamt that there was a diamond buried right here, and so I left my shop and I left my wife and my children, my little town. I lived miles away from here, and I came here to dig and to see if I could find the diamond." And the soldier laughed at him. "What a fool you are, you stupid Jew. You believe in dreams? Ha! I'll tell you a dream. I had a dream that I was on a patrol. And I went to these little towns where Jews like you all live. I dreamt that I came to the house of the tailor, and everyone in the house ran out of the house, and I looked into the house to see what it is that they were hiding there, and I saw that under the stove there was something gleaming. So I pushed away the stove, and I dug my hand in, and there was a treasure box. A treasure box that was hidden for who knows how many years. Now, do you believe that dream, Jew?" The man said to himself, "I am a tailor. I live in a little house. There's a stove in the center of my house." And he thanked the soldier. And he went home. And with his spade, he began to dig under the stove. Until he felt he was touching a box. And he pushed away more soil until he uncovered a treasure. And he spent the rest of his life in riches. What's the meaning of the story? The value of the High Holy Days is in your seat. It's not on the pulpit. It's not in the cantor's voice and the rabbi's sermons and the announcements of the pages. It's in you. All you need is to daydream, some quiet, to find yourself. My my friends, in the age of cell phones and emails, of iPods, of junk mail, of constant news, constant bombardment, we don't ever get a chance to sit anymore with ourselves. So relax. Make it a peaceful, quiet yantif. Be with yourself. And inside, deep down, if you give it some time and some quiet, you'll find the treasure. Shana Tova. I hope you have, as Frank Sinatra would say, a very good year.